You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Tuesday's edition of the podcast, taking a look at a couple of races from Lingfield a little bit later on, and we'll be dealing with the questions posed in the Racing Post Monday jury to kickstart. I hope you can join us for all of the action on Racing Radio on Tuesday. Stephen Powell, John O'Connell and Ollie Pimlott are your team in the studio. Racing at Lingfield and Wolverhampton on the all-weather. They are inspecting at 9 a.m. for the National Hunt Card at Ayr. Hopefully that gets the go-ahead, but Wolverhampton and Lingfield should be able to provide you with plenty of entertainment throughout the course of the day. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair and joining me on this edition to take a look at a couple of contests on Tuesday, as well as the spin through the Monday jury, is Ross Briley. How are you, Ross?
I am cold, Sam Norris. I am mainly cold. It is very cold. That's mainly my feeling.
Yeah.
A lot of my feelings are revolving around being cold.
Have you been cold for a prolonged period of time?
It feels like it.
Yeah.
It feels like I can barely remember when it was above 3 degrees. But not even two duvets
was sufficient.
It was a two duvet night. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And I still when I got up to go for a wee at 3 o'clock, it was still absolutely freezing. So it made absolutely no difference whatsoever. Plus, my housemate, Mr. David Kalmer, does have a tendency of leaving windows open.
Really?
Because he doesn't feel the cold.
And yet, he gets more colds and sniffles than anyone I know.
I think that's why. I think because he is just a human representation of the cold virus. he constantly has a cold, therefore he doesn't feel the cold because he's never warm. It's just for him. It's just normal. Why have you got a cold, Dave? Because I'm always cold. But for him, as I said,
that's the secret.
Yeah.
It's been playing havoc with some of the race meetings as well over the last few days, but we had a good weekend of action in the main. Ross, enjoy the protagonists that we saw over the weekend. We'll come to a few of them in a little bit more detail, but
good
weekend.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, Sandown was good, wasn't it?
Mm.
A couple of the feature races probably could have been better contested, obviously with the Tingle Creek being the most disappointing of all in terms of what we could have seen.
Yes.
Line up in the contest. And obviously things like Sunday, like Cork on Sunday was a bit of a joke, for example. But at this time of year, given the weather conditions, I was down in the Cotswolds for the weekend, and given how much fun it was to drive back.
Yeah, I bet.
From there to Leeds, I think we did all right in the grand scheme of things.
Let's start with some of the weekend's top performers then. We started Aintree, actually, and the first question on the jury this week. Are you looking in Black Lion's direction for the next Grand National winner? Plenty of water to go under the bridge between now and the Grand National, but he's clearly a horse who enjoys the unique test that it poses.
Yeah, I mean, on Monday we're currently previewing Southall races on the radio, and again, very much similar to the Grand National in the sense of, if you like it...
Is it? All right, okay.
You like it.
Yeah.
Like, you can. Doesn't matter how much weight you're carrying. A lot of time, it doesn't even matter what... On the 5%, it doesn't matter what trip you're running over.
Yes.
If you're in it, you're in it. And that goes to the Grand National. Some horses will just never, ever take to those fences and that kind of test. Whereas Black Lion... To be fair to Black Lion, he will take to anything. So he's one of those horses that you dream of owning, of thinking, which very valuable race should we run well in this month? He jumped them into submission the other day. He had a bit of a class edge over his rivals, admittedly, and he does have plenty of form in those kind of conditions. And you know, you look at the kind of horses he was beating, the likes of Highland Lodge and Portrait King. The Last Samurai is a decent yardstick on his day, but none of them. None of them could have got within half a length of Bristol Demai on its previous run, put it that way.
Mm.
So, if you didn't, you know, if you, nobody's watching Black Lion at the weekend and going, crikey, I suddenly fancy him now, because he did what you'd expect him to do.
His credentials were there for all to see before the weekend, weren't they?
Yeah.
He's not emerged out of the darkness as a Grand National contender.
No, not at all. But he's about as solid a yardstick as you're going to get. Presenting Percy and Total Recall are both very interesting alternatives. I was a bit disappointed that Go Conquer didn't line up at the weekend.
Yeah.
And he's a 33-1 shot. I thought he looked an absolute ideal horse for those kind of conditions. So he'd be quite interesting. He's entered at Cheltenham, I think, at the weekend. He's one I just kind of got on the... Since he ran at the Cheltenham Festival last year and did way too much in front and somehow managed to cling on to fifth. Mm. So, yeah, Black Lion's got a big chance. But I think Go Conquer is the interesting one. When he won at Kempton, I said, I bet he goes to Aintree this weekend, but he didn't. So, interesting. He's an intriguing one.
10-1 for Black Lion. If you do want an early punt on the Grand National, Go Conquer, the horse Ross was mentioning, there is a 33-1 chance. On to Politolog then, who's the subject of the second question on the jury this week. Can he keep bloodying the noses of the top 2 mile chasing crew? It was obviously a surprise for some to see him turn over Fox Norton the weekend, but not for you, Ross. I believe you napped him on the day, did you?
I did nap him, yeah. Yeah, he's a good... I share the view of Ken Peterson from last year in the sense that he was a very good horse running over the wrong trip.
Yeah.
He has a lot of class, and he was just... He wasn't struggling to get home over 2 mile four, 2 mile five. It's just that he had far too much enthusiasm and he's got far too many gears for to be running over that trip. And he jumped perfectly. He travelled well. And that extra little bit of stamina came into play to beat Fox Norton. And in a grade where, you know, we don't even know, no one knows what's going on with Doufan.
Yeah.
Does Willie Mullins even know what's going on with Doufan? And given the fact that, you know, once Doufan was out of the question last year, the race fell apart. You've got the likes of Altior and things like that to throw into the mix. But I really like it. And the main thing I like about him is because he has a fairly exposed profile and that will put people off. But he's exposed over trips that he's not running over. And I think he's got a hell of a lot more to come over this distance.
Okay. That's Politolog then. On to the 2 mile novice chasing division. We saw an absolutely cracking race at the weekend at Sandown, won by So Royale. Is he the answer among the 2 mile novice chasers is the question that's posed. There's a good clutch of them that are pretty useful. That race at the weekend, Ross, is a grade one, so we expect it to be a good race. But as novice chasers go at this stage of the season, it was a bit of a belter on paper.
Yeah, and I mean, if you know the answer to the Arkle question right now, then fair play to you. Footpad's favourite at the moment after his decisive chase victory over Braylard a couple of weeks ago. And obviously he's a very talented horse who stays even further, and he was not quite a top-class hurdler, but certainly not far off. But it's a bit of a messy market in terms of what's going to turn up. Every couple of weeks, something else seems to throw down a challenge to be in the next big thing. So Royale is a fairly exposed performer who'd already been beaten by runners in the race. So, yeah, I really don't know at the moment. Finian's Oscar ran so below par, and So Royale did for a long way get a lovely toe into it in the gap behind the leaders. So, honest answer. Who knows? Because it's one of the most open markets, Arkle markets we've seen for years and years.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no obvious contender from that's progressed like the likes of like we've seen over the past few years. There's no, you know, your Sprinter Sacras or your Duvans.
Indeed, hopefully then we will find some more answers to that question over the next few weeks and months. On to the hurdlers now. How strongly do you rate On the Blind Side's performance at Sandown at the weekend? Again, it was a very taking performance. A lot of people were keen on the horse pre the race at the weekend because he left such a lasting impression on his previous start as well, and he's followed that up at Sandown.
Yeah, and he keeps doing it a different kind of test as well. He doesn't win by far, and he never does it. He's not impressive necessarily. In his two starts before Sandown at the weekend, you could have crabbed him for not winning by far enough over an outsider at Aintree, and I did put a little question mark next to him when he won at Cheltenham because Calimad was so below par and everything else seemed to battle each other a long way out, and On the Blind Side stayed on strongest of all. But he was much better at, or at least more impressive at Sandown last time out. Again, did he beat a lot? I don't know. I think he's a good horse. I'm still reserving judgment a little bit as to how good he is. That would be the... He's been well placed, and I think he's beat some half-decent horses. But I still, I'm still reserving judgment a tad.
Okay.
If that's all right with you.
That is absolutely fine by me. It's 10-1 for the Ballymore Novices Hurdle. Sam Crowe taking Benny out of that market at 15-8. The penultimate question this week on the jury then. Identify a surefire future winner from the last few days.
Beat that.
Okay.
I thought he ran an absolute blinder at Sandown on Saturday. It was his handicap debut over an inadequate trip. It was almost 3 miles, but I think he wants a real test over hurdles. He's obviously, related to Might Bite, and both of them distinctly improved for 3 miles since he won at Aintree and Punchestown. He's had a fairly funny career because I don't quite know what they were planning on doing with him. I mean, he made his chasing debut in May at Uttoxeter. I don't think they've quite known what is going on with him. But I thought he ran a very nice race behind Hollybush Henry the other day at Sandown, and he came home. I didn't think he was fully extended, and I think he's got a big 3 mile handicap. Obviously, the Potemps is the obvious target,
yes,
given that was a qualifier. But there might be a race in him before then.
Okay, beat that then. Potentially one to go in the trackers. And rounding off the Monday jury this week, give us one to put our faith in at Cheltenham at the weekend. Obviously, it's the international meeting. Whether or not it gets the green light would be a bit of a question. But if they were to go ahead, I suppose at this stage, Ross...
Who's putting faith in things?
We don't know.
Who's putting faith in things at Cheltenham now when we don't know what the
ground
is? That's a horrible question. That is a question of someone who they want to talk about Cheltenham. They've looked at the card next weekend and thought, God knows. And they've gone, I'll just ask them.
Yeah.
Nothing. I've put my faith in absolutely nothing.
There has been steady support for Clanders Oboe today, by the way. Just an hour before we record this podcast, that's been trimmed in price.
Yeah, I say nothing. I'm looking at on Saturday when I should be looking at Friday. Robbins Firth.
Yeah.
I thought was quite interesting in the Unicoin Group Handicap Chase on the Friday. I thought he ran a race full of promise at Haydock. He looked like he was going to go and win, but he'd had too much messing around earlier on in the race to get past Chase the Spud. It was a proper Haydock heavy ground grinder. He's run well when he was sent off favourite behind Cogree at this track, and he ran a blinder over hurdles here as well. So Robbins Firth is 8 years old, but I still think there's a lot more to come from him. So he would be very much of interesting in the December handicap chase.
Okay.
Just change the whichever title you want to give it.
Robbins Firth then, wants to keep an eye on at Cheltenham this weekend. Just we'll move on to some of Tuesday's action. One horse that didn't make the Monday jury, just want to briefly touch on Sizing John, the reigning Gold Cup winner, advertising his well-being in winning the John Durkin and beating Jack and Am into second place. Did you take anything out of the race particularly?
I can only assume that didn't make the Monday jury because they asked them all on Sunday.
That was what I gathered from it as well.
Well, given the fact that there's always a worry when a horse kind of has a couple of targets and they don't necessarily turn up. He bolted it the other day, and him versus Might Bite is going to be very interesting indeed, I think, come the spring. It was a perfect return to action for him. So, good luck to Connections, but still in the Might Bite camp, but it'd be a good Gold Cup if they both turn up.
Definitely so. Let's look at some of Tuesday's racing now then, with the Ayres meeting up in the air. We're going to stick with the all-weather
action.
It is indeed. And you'd have probably gone with the all-weather action regardless, wouldn't you, Ross?
Oh, absolutely, 100%. So you didn't need to convince me otherwise.
No, indeed. You're an ideal podcast candidate today. A couple at Lingfield that we'll take a look at, beginning with the 1 o'clock, which is a filly's handicap over 6 furlongs. 7 runners down to take their chance in this one. Spin us through some of these, Ross, what you liked and what you didn't.
Well, the pick would be Show Stealer, off the bat. Ray Guest's runner has maybe not won as many as you would have hoped this season. She's been fairly frustrated in good races. But I think she's run a couple of blinders. She's mixed trips as well. I think she's better over this 6 furlong trip. She finished second to Related at Kempton on a penultimate run when she rattled home from the back. Before that, she was badly drawn over 5 at Chelmsford and ran another cracker. Then she went back up to 7 furlongs last time out, which I really don't think is her trip over at Chelmsford, and finished 6th in what seemed a fairly odd handicap. I wasn't entirely sure what was going on in that race. But I would forgive her that run, and her 6 furlong form is absolutely rock solid. So I think she's the one to beat, especially as the likes of Diamond Lady and Pretty Bubbles might well take each other on up front. Diamond Lady's in good form, finished 3rd behind a very much unexposed Gorgeous Nora last time out. Pretty Bubbles as well hasn't done a great deal wrong this year. Was well beaten at Kempton last time, but 2nd to the unexposed Sword Exceed here over this course and distance would put it right in the mix. But yeah, I thought Show Stealer, this is easier than what she's been contesting for the past few runs, and she's over her ideal trip.
Show Stealer then in the 1 o'clock at Lingfield gets the nod. We move on to the 2:10, one of their feature races of the day, a 5 furlong handicap upcoming here. Just over 12.5 grand to the winner. It's attracted a reasonable field as well, Ross.
Yes, it has. Yeah, not a bad little contest. This Al Svinder's going to be popular. He posted a good figure despite the fact that they didn't seem to go overly quickly at Wolverhampton last time out. But he was in a very nice position early on, so I'm slightly dubious of whether he can do that again. Midnight Malibu won in the 5% last time out, and again, transferring that form here is going to be slightly concerning. Gracious John's got a good record at this track and is going to be interesting as well. But it's about time Royal Berth got back in the winner's enclosure for a friend of the family, Tom Morley.
Indeed.
Yeah, a winner here at Lingfield over this 5 furlong trip in a listed contest back in February. Since then, he's raced over 6, he's raced over 7, he's raced over 5 at Chelmsford, where he came home quickly after being bumped out of the stalls. Not a lot's gone right for him this year, to be fair, but this test should be absolutely perfect for him. He's a dual winner over course and distance, and he's down to a nice handicap mark as well. So he is potential nat material in the 2:10, the valuable 5 furlong handicap.
A strong vote then for Royal Berth, one of two in the race for Tom. Mm. That's the choice for Ross.
He did buy a lot of horses at the sales.
He did. And we saw two of them go in a race the other night as well, didn't we? At Wolverhampton, two ran in the same race. And I think he had the winner. It was two in the yellow and black colours.
Oh, Bahamian, yeah. Bahamian Heights one, didn't it?
Yeah, but he had another one in that race. But anyway, by the by, remind us of your two selections, please, at Lingfield.
Royal Berth in the 2:10, Show Stealer in the 1 o'clock.
Thank you very much. You can tune into William Hill's Racing Radio on Tuesday afternoon and join Stephen Powell, John O'Connell and Ollie Pimlott for the action at Lingfield and Wolverhampton, and hopefully Ayr will pass their early morning inspection as well. Ross, thank you for that. Pleasure as always, and enjoy the action.
Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.